Blog Talk Radio.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transition. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
everybody. How are we doing? Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. That was Lost Without the Cross by my dear friend and church member, Amber Patterson. Oh, let me say it right, DePaolo. Y'all, first of all, I know it's Friday. I know it's Friday night. But as you can see, Tammy Terrell Hall, Polk, your dynamically different, favorite, lovingly annoyed, yet professionally sassy author is live on a Friday night. And y'all are like, what in the world? Well, let me tell y'all what happened. Originally for my network, the Lifted Authors Radio Network, I actually wanted a book club night. And actually, because the team is just bogged down, they said, Tammy, what about a one-hour special? And I said, great, I'll do it. That means I have more time to read through a book. So as I was preparing for this last night, hey, y'all, come on in the room. As I was preparing for this last night, I did not know what book I wanted to do. And I had a dream, actually, that I was doing this show. And in my dream, I'm like, oh, my gosh, what book is in my hand? And it turned out to be Real Life Abigail. Now, I have a lot of listeners who have only heard the first chapter of this book. So I have tagged them to come on in the room because I'm also streaming live on Facebook and Instagram at Dynamically Different ASC. So even if you have to get off of the radio, find me on Instagram, find me on Facebook, I'll still be reading. So here we go with Real Life Abigail. And if y'all hear me pause for a long period of time, it's because I stopped to take a sip of water. Because I'm only used to being on the air for 30 minutes, so being on for an hour might get me a little bit because I'm reading, but let's go. I'm going to get through as much of this as I can within the hour. Chapter 1, Ma, tell me how things really are. I can handle it. Ayanna looked into her daughter's eyes, not wanting her to know anything about what her father was doing. Sarita was smart enough to know that something was going on between her parents and that she could be doing more than just keep your mind on your studies. She knew that her mother was hurting, and she just wanted to know why. Dad and I are having a rough time right now. It happens in every marriage. Sarita rolled her eyes. Ma, I'm not a baby. You can tell me what's going on. Watch your tongue, young lady, and mind what your mother already told you. Sarita might have gotten her way with her mother, but Alexander was a completely different story. He was a man who was used to having absolute authority in every area of his life and could not abide being questioned, especially by anyone in his own house. Once Sarita left the room, the argument began. Alexander picked fights over things that many men wished they had. He knew that they had received a cutoff notice for the lights, but their lights were still on, and the date had passed. What did you do to pay the light bill? Do you really think of me that way? Just answer the question, Ayanna. I had book royalties to come in, and it was just enough to pay the bill. Alexander laughed and asked her to prove her claim. She showed him the royalty statement, which he crumpled up and threw in the trash. I'm the man in this house. I don't need you paying nothing in my house. So you're mad because I didn't want our daughter sitting in the dark until you figured something out? The word stung and rendered Alexander speechless. He knew that this was something he shouldn't have been mad about. Yet he was infuriated by the fact that Ayana's book sales and events had been his family's saving grace for the last 5 years. He had worked his way up from the mailroom to management at the construction company that he worked for. However, the city's crazy weather made work hard. There were days when the heat was too high for them to be out there working, or there would be a torrential downpour that would delay them for days. Memphis's weather was truly bipolar and needed a psychiatrist. Ayana knocked on Sarita's door and found her crying. She'd heard their argument and didn't understand why her father was so unreasonable. It wasn't like her mother went around bragging about her success and using the money from her royalties to save her family. She made her father look like the man of the year and never took credit for anything. Sarita pulled out the coloring book she and her mother shared, and they colored without a word to each other. It was how they dealt with Alexander's unreasonableness, which was something that he was jealous of. When he realized what they were doing, he called Sarita downstairs to watch the game with him. Ayana nodded, told her to go on downstairs, and went to her writing room to finish her latest release. Alexander knew that the character family in her books were based on what was going on in their home, and he didn't care because no one really knew that much about their home life. He did a good job of keeping his family out of the limelight. Many people thought they had the perfect working class family who earned everything they had. People admired the homeschool education that Sarita received. There had been so many budget cuts in the school system, and it seemed as though everything Sarita excelled at was being cut, so they decided to end public school journey after middle school. Sarita was a brilliant artist who had several murals around the city and was very known in the community. While people complained about all that was going on with the city, Sarita spent her time enjoying the sights and sounds of her hometown. Twombly Park was her place of peace, and she often rode the city bus downtown to sit in her favorite spot and draw what came across the landscape. She dreamed of living downtown one day and knew exactly where she wanted to live. After drawing, she would ride the trolley from one end of the route to the other and knew most of the drivers by name. She would always stop to eat on Main Street and would even take in a Redbirds game if there was one going on. She kept in contact with all of her friends from school who were suffering through the issues with the district. They wanted Sarita's life and came to her defense when people talked mess about homeschoolers and how awkward they were. Sarita had artwork at the Brooks Museum, Jack Robinson Gallery, the Memphis Zoo, and even the National Civil Rights Museum. Every art-related business and organization knew the name Sarita could... Karina DeVille. She was the envy of the neighborhood and the kind of girl that every parent wanted for her son. However, she wasn't interested in anyone who didn't walk in their purpose in life or have a relationship with the Lord. Faith was one thing that Sarita knew was real in her mother's life. No matter what her father did, Ayana always told Sarita that she wanted to keep a short account with God. Although Alexander cut her in any way he possibly could, she was determined to honor her husband, and she saw God moving as a result of that. She devoted much of her prayer time to her mother and prayed that he would bless every word that she wrote. She was her mother's success. She saw her mother's success, as God's answers to her prayers. Her mother was always behind the scenes, keeping things going and keeping the family out of debt. Ayana Sharice was the pseudonym her mother had written under since her writing journey began in her teens. Writing was life to Ayanna and had made her money from the time she learned to write. She won just about every major writing contest Memphis had to offer. Her mother, Marie, was a stickler for education and money management, ensuring that her daughter didn't mess up her life nor allow the success to go to her head. Marie loved Alexander and thought that he was her daughter's perfect complement, but it wasn't long before she started to see his dark side. His successes were well known as well, yet he had a way of making Ayanna feel as though her successes weren't as important as his. When Ayanna would come to her about it, she told her to pray and to fight his envy with God's success, and that's exactly what she did. When Ayanna's first book became a bestseller, she bought their dream home in Twinkletown and lived there until she married Alexander. He wanted to buy a house together, which made Ayanna nervous, but she went along in it. When he asked her to sell her home, she refused. "We have a house together now, so you don't need that one. That house has sentimental value to me, and you know it, Alexander. It was the first major thing I bought for myself with my big advance. It's not fair for you to ask me to give it up. We could take that money and invest it into something more. It's time to stop thinking about yourself, Ayanna. And you aren't thinking about yourself by asking me to sell the house and use the money the way you want me to, right? Fine. Keep it. But don't come to me asking me to save it when things start to go down. Remember this conversation, ma'am." Ayanna laughed as she penned that part of the story. Nothing had happened in the near 20 years they had been married, and that was yet another thing that Alexander couldn't stomach. Things had gone down for him long before they ever started going down for her. As Alexander watched the game with his only child and only daughter, he saw her mother all over her. Like Ayanna, Sarita was making her way through the world in a way that most would consider unpopular. People often told her and her mother that they would end up being broke, starving artists. Yet God had moved, and they had become the exact opposite. He knew that she knew more than she let on, so he decided to talk to her about it. "I want to ask you something, and I want you to be honest with me." Sarita nodded nervously. Whenever Alexander said that, she knew that he really didn't mean it. However, she never lied to nor hid her feelings from him. "What do you think is going on between me and Mom?" "I think she paid a bill or something, and you got mad at her again." "I don't get why you do that, though, Dad. Why does that make you so mad? You should be grateful that you're with a woman who's willing to step up and help you. She never tells anybody about what she does and makes you look like a saint, but you don't appreciate it." Tears streamed down Sarita's face, and she asked to be excused. But it was Alexander who left the room, grabbed his keys, and went to play ball at the gym. Sarita was right, and he knew it. But he had been raised to be the man. His father would have killed his mother had she paid a bill in his house and had told him as much. He didn't like Ayanna for that very reason and told his son that she would end up running his house one day if he didn't get a handle on that. When he died, it was Ayanna who stepped up to pay for what his insurance policy didn't cover, unbeknownst to Alexander and his family. What do you guys think about that?
And that's just chapter one.
Hold on. Just a second. Let me refresh myself really quick. Chapter two. When they were first married, Ayanna was free to write and stack her money up because he made enough to do anything and everything that they wanted without flinching. Ayanna never paid for anything, not even a pack of gum, if he was at the store with her. If she went out to lunch with friends or to a business meeting, Alexander expect to look at his bank account and see that money was gone. He didn't even want her spending money on their daughter. He wanted everything to go through him. He wanted to be the provider. To him, God was blessing him to be able to do that, and he was certain that things would never change. When the construction company he worked for folded, Alexander couldn't tell anyone. His family was living off the severance money the owner of the company sacrificed to give them. Even when he joined with another company, what he was being paid wasn't enough to sustain the household. He tried to hide the bills from Ayanna, yet she had her way of finding out what they were behind on and getting it paid before anything major happened. Alexander ranted and raved each time it happened, though he was secretly relieved that he could keep up appearances with his colleagues and associates. He couldn't bring himself to give credit where it was due. It didn't matter to him that Ayanna was sitting on money. What mattered to him was that he was seen as a good man who provided for his family. He hated to hear any other man tell him that he was not doing right by his wife and that God was humbling him so that he would honor her. He would shake it off. However, it seemed as though the words and scriptures followed him wherever he went. He was always around some man who had lost his wife because he didn't appreciate her. It was always the same story. He thought he had things under control and wouldn't admit that he needed help. She would step up and help without emasculating him. He would take his frustration out on her. Something would happen to cause her to either leave or die. Alexander cringed at every story but convinced himself that it would never happen to him. Man, I'm not worried about that. Ayanna knows the word and what it says. Have you ever heard the story of Abigail? Alexander nodded no. His best friend Marcus was a local pastor who ministered to couples in trouble. He told Alexander about how Abigail was married to an arrogant idiot who dared to challenge David's authority and refused to help him. When Abigail heard what he'd done, she stepped in and kept David from killing him. Later on, war came to their city. Her husband was killed, and she became David's wife. You, my friend, have a real-life Abigail, and you had better wise up before you end up like the man in the Bible. She's doing what she's doing to keep God from killing you, to keep you from losing everything, and to keep your marriage and family intact. Don't be a fool, Alex. I've seen God take too many good women from idiot men like you. Alexander didn't believe what Marcus was saying until he went home to read it for himself All of a sudden, he couldn't breathe and felt hot. As usual, he calmed himself by saying that Ayana couldn't leave him because he wasn't cheating on her, which was the only biblical reason for divorce. Then the thought of how she could separate from him for a time brought those feelings right back. Despite having this knowledge, Alexander continued to treat his wife like a real-life Abigail. Anytime she paid anything, he wanted to know who she told. He called her a liar when she said that she never told anyone what she was doing. And, as always, he would go on a tirade about how she made him look like a fool and that everyone knew their business. No matter what Ayana said, she was in the wrong. No matter what she did, she was in the wrong. Instead of arguing with him, she prayed for him and poured her energies into her books and her relationship with her daughter. Ayana taught Sarita the same way her mother taught her: God first, education second, and good money management third. Like a normal teenager, Sarita bucked against her mom's lessons, but always found herself running into someone who made the mistakes that her mother was trying to help her avoid. It was crazy to her, but she paid very close attention to what was happening to these people. Sarita had friends who thought sex would get them a boyfriend and keep him. She'd seen girls literally go crazy after having abortions because the boys they tried to impress dropped them like hot water. But the biggest lesson she learned came from her parents' own relationship. She didn't want the relationship her mother had and envied the life preparations that she'd learned from her grandmother. "You're preparing to leave me, aren't you, Ayana?" "What? Alexander, what are you talking about? You kept your house because you wanted to have somewhere to go if you ever left me. You don't fool me, Ayana." "I'm not even going to dignify that with a response." Alexander grabbed Ayana and started hurling scripture at her about the wife's duty to her husband, and she fired back at him to the point that he let her go and walked out of the room. "Hey, Ma, that play you wanted to see starts in an hour. Why don't we get dressed and go?" A brave smile crossed Ayana's face as she hugged her daughter and went to get ready. Ayana refused the money that Alexander tried to give her and said that Sarita was treating her to an evening out on the town. She needed to relax and get over the foolishness she had just endured. As the days passed, Alexander became more fearful and lashed out even more. Hearing message after message at church ate away at him. It seemed as though any message he heard was about how a husband was to respect his wife as much as he expected her to respect him. People he looked up to and trusted told him he was a fool. He brushed it all off while noticing his wife flourishing. Ayana seemed to make more money after every argument. She was always being asked to come and speak at a conference, or another book would make the bestseller list, or she was being featured in some new anthology. Still, she never threw any of that in his face. She tithed off every dime, gave to charity, increased her investments, and kept herself and their daughter well. No one knew the hell she was enduring at home. As people often told Alexander, the day came when the final straw was laid. He lost his job with the new construction company, and they were on the brink of losing everything. When Ayanna found out, she feverishly drained her accounts in an effort to save what Alexander had built for his family. She took every insult and dodged everything he threw at her when the payment emails came through. She cried, journaled, talked to her pastor's wife, prayed, and wrote, which was all she knew to do to deal with this man. When she stopped his Explorer from being repossessed, he flipped. You really think you're doing something, don't you? Ayanna said nothing. I got another job, so I don't need you paying anything else in this house. Ayanna remained silent. You know what? If you think you can make it out there without me, go right ahead. Just get out. Don't take anything out of this house with you. You might have kept that house, but you won't make it out there without me. Get out! Daddy, you're going too far. Watch your mouth, little girl. Who do you think you're talking to? See, you've even got my own daughter disrespecting me. Ayanna grabbed her keys and purse, following Sarita out the door. Fortunately, all of her writing necessities were still in her car, so she could continue working, and Sarita had her backpack with all of her art supplies in there as well. We're going to be okay, baby. I know, Mom. Just get to the house so we can both rest. Sarita did everything she could to make her mother smile, but it wasn't working. She knew that she would need time to process what happened. Despite all she was dealing with emotionally, Ayanna didn't miss a click. She still showed up everywhere she was supposed to be, even church. Alexander had stopped coming and refused to attend counseling sessions with her in order to get things right. He had one demand. Ayanna had to stop writing and give up everything. Ayanna refused because it was the most asinine thing that she had ever heard. Their pastor thought so as well and continued to pray for Alexander. That is the end of Chapter 2. And we are about a third of the way into the book. I can tell you guys, I'm not going to finish this. So if you want to get Real Life Abigail, reach out to me and I will tell you how. But for now, Chapter 3. After 6 months, Alexander called Ayanna, asking her if she was ready to meet his demand, and she said no, angering him to the point that he began cursing at her. She hung up on him, which made things worse. When he called back, she asked him if he was ready to have an adult conversation. He would compose himself, ask the question again, get the same response, go back to cursing, and then get hung up on again. Soon Alexander became childish and dragged Ayanna's name to the mud to try to assuage his guilt. He was even more enraged because the people he tried to convince knew better. Everyone in their circle knew that Ayanna would walk on hot coals, naked and barefoot for that man before she told anyone what was going on in their home. Things were going better for him professionally, but he was suffering emotionally and spiritually. God showed up in Alexander's dreams, much like he did with the Apostle Paul. As Alexander stood there shaking, he asked him why he was abusing the gift he had given him. He opened his mouth to speak, but nothing came out. He soon realized that nothing he said would make any sense to God. God warned him and was doing so for a second time. And God told him there wouldn't be a third time. Alexander worked to make things right, but everyone could tell it was a half-hearted effort. Ayana trod lightly around him and prayed for discernment to know if he was really serious. She stood her ground about the house and her books, which was a hard pill for Alexander to swallow. They attended the counseling sessions, and most of the time Alexander was getting checked for being superficial and saying what he thought his pastor wanted to hear. I want you to look this woman in her face and tell her that you're wrong. You're dancing around that issue and saying what you think she wants to hear to get her to come back. It's not going to happen until you are real with this woman. Remember your vision, brother. Alexander got mad and hated that he'd ever told him about the vision. It came up in every session, and he was tired of it. He knew that he was close to God's threshold, yet it didn't change him the way that it should have. Another 6 months passed, and Alexander found himself on a ledge again. This time, he was battling a sickness that no doctor could seem to find. He went hither and yon and drained his accounts looking for any relief from his symptoms. He couldn't work because the noise and the heights took him down. He needed his wife, yet he refused to reach out to her and let her know what was going on with him. All the while, Sarita and Ayana prospered. Sarita had been granted early admission to her top choice of art schools, and Ayana was battling with letting her only daughter go. Alexander joined them for the trip to Orlando, offering to drive the whole way there. Ayana could tell that something was wrong with him, but decided not to ask until they'd gotten Sarita settled into her apartment on campus. When they got back to their hotel, she cornered him and asked him what his problem was. He could barely look her in the eye. Every horrible thing he had done was written on her face like a tattoo. He sighed and plopped down in a nearby chair with his head in his hands. Most women would have walked away and let the man be, but Ayana didn't. She knelt in front of him and prayed, surprising him. When she finished, he asked her why she'd done it, and she told him that she would never allow anger or pain to keep her from praying for someone. Not even him. What's wrong, Alexander? Spill it. And don't tell me it's nothing, because that's a lie. Just haven't been feeling that great. And work? Haven't been able to work because of how I've been feeling. Doctor? Can't seem to find out what's wrong. But you know what it is. It's not that. What else could it possibly be, Alexander? You're going through all of this because you are too bullheaded and stubborn to admit to me that you were wrong for putting me out on the street. He looked up at his wife with tears in his eyes and repeatedly stated that that wasn't what had him like this. It had to be something else. His vision slapped him in the face, yet he stood on the fact that it had to be something else. By spring semester, Alexander was worse, and Ayana went back home to care for him. The first thing she did was take care of the overwhelming debt he was under and get his accounts back in the black. She used essential oils to make Alexander comfortable and made sure that he ate from a clean diet. They walked as far as Alexander could go twice a day and called Sarita every night. They continued their counseling sessions And Alexander recommitted himself to God, with Ayanna wondering if it was too late. By the time Sarita came home for summer break, Alexander had gotten even worse. He was on the right road, but that rainbow polka-dotted pink elephant was still in the room. Sarita begged him to come clean with his wife, and he said that he was prepared to endure his condition as it was. So you would rather have God kill you than to apologize to your wife? Wow, Dad. Alexander tried to straighten himself so that he could correct his daughter, yet doing so hurt. He knew Sarita was right, yet part of him still felt that couldn't be what would heal him. No matter how much anyone begged Alexander to apologize, he felt like he didn't have to because Ayanna and Sarita came back. His family was whole again, and he was able to do some odd jobs to make ends meet. Things were back to the way they were, and he thought that was all he needed. Soon they were making the trip back to Orlando. Only this time, they had to fly because Alexander couldn't endure the long drive and didn't want Sarita to be late in getting back to school. Ayanna could see how his illness had changed everything about her husband, and she prayed for God to spare his life. She would have a vision of her own that very night. I'm trying to get his attention, daughter. It's not about you. But don't kill him. He knows what I told him. I know, but please. There has to be another way to get through him. Get through to him. It's either him or one of you. Ayanna sat up in her bed, sweating bullets. Alexander was in the recliner, writhing in pain. She knelt in front of him and begged him to say the words that would bring him out of what he was going through. In his weakness, Alexander raised his head and nodded no. Ayanna began to scream at him, and he was unmoved. Whew, I have a hard time reading this one myself. But I'm not going to talk for too long because I want to get in as much of this as possible. So here we go. Chapter 4. Sarita knew something was wrong when she saw her mother calling during the day. They always talked at night after she got off work and finished her homework. Her mother's voice was shaky, making her sit down on the couch. She heard the words that she said, yet she couldn't respond. Her father had allowed his pride to kill him. The holidays brought Ayanna and her daughter no joy as they pored over financial statements, trying to make sense out of the mess Alexander made for himself. She had to sell the house in order to make things right, which hurt more than anything. Then the person who bought the house tore it down and used the land to build a small apartment complex. As always, Ayanna tried to make the holiday break as enjoyable as possible, yet neither one of them understood why saying that he was wrong was so hard. They spent much time in fasting and prayer, often crying until their head and eyes hurt. Sarita fought to continue her studies with this on her heart. She transferred to Memphis College of Art, much to her mother's chagrin, but she didn't want her to be alone. Ayanna traveled even more, taking Sarita with her when she was out of school. Being away from Memphis was the only thing other than prayer that kept her sane. She only wanted to be in town long enough to attend church, and then she was ready to go again. She was on the road Monday and Tuesday, in town for services on Wednesday and Thursday, back on the road on Friday, and in town on Saturday night for services on Sunday, and then on the road after evening service. She was never in town longer than that unless there was something going on at the church that she needed to stick around for. Sarita poured her heart into her art and sold several pieces for a lot of money. She graduated early and found her settling into her dream home in the Cooper Young district of the city, with her studio being downtown. She was proud of herself and her mother, yet she missed her father terribly. She visited his grave every day before and after class, telling him how angry she was with him for being there. You made Mom a real-life Abigail. Now all she needs is to meet someone else and get married for the transformation to be complete. His name was Rance, and he was new to the city. He met Ayana at a gallery opening she went to with Sarita. It was love at first sight for him, yet everything about Ayana's demeanor let him know not to come her way just yet. Her best friend, Lauren, who owned the gallery, filled him in on what had happened only a few months before. How could a man be that stupid with a woman like her? If any of us knew the answer to that, Alexander would still be alive. Rance was intrigued by the situation and set his sights on changing Ayana's mind. He was going to start with Sarita, who didn't like him at all. I know you're still grieving over your father, and I'm trying to respect that. I just want to be here for both of you while you do. Trust me, you will need an act of God, an act of Congress, a presidential pardon, and a constitutional amendment to get my mom to move before she's ready. Is that all? Sarita managed to smile. Ranson's sudden uneasiness was humorous to her. She warned him that he was treading on thin ice, a warning he didn't want to heed right away. He started by showing up at church. It unnerved Ayana, yet she knew better than to allow her personal feelings to block what God was doing in somebody else's life. She didn't have much to worry about because her pastor and the other men in the church watched Rand very closely. They were very protective of Ayana, which she needed and appreciated. Over time, Rand started to see why Alexander had such an issue with Ayana. To him, she carried herself as if she didn't need a man. He was wrong about that. However, the feeling drove his actions. After evening service one autumn Sunday night, he decided to confront her about it. I see why your late husband had such a problem with you. Oh, really? Why is that? I guess you see my success as a problem, too. Is God moving and blessing me too much for you, too? Do you even want to be married again? Actually, I do. Only this time, I wanted to be with a man who's confident in God's plan and purpose for him so much so that what God does for me and my daughter doesn't make him feel like less of a man. If you know anyone who fits that bill, I'd be more than willing to entertain him. Everyone around them stood at attention. Ayana had laid down the law, grabbed Sarita, and left to go home. Sarita howled with laughter when they got in the car, while Ayana breathed a huge sigh of relief. The nerve! Well, Ma, he went there. You had to let him know how you roll, so don't even sweat it. Either he will step up or step aside. Let's go get some ice cream and catch a movie. Yeah. I'm going to do as much as Chapter 5 as I can, guys, but I only have about 5 minutes. So here we go. As the seasons changed, so did Rance's approach. Ayana was a hard nut to crack, yet he was determined to have her by his side. He'd had a vision of his own about Ayana, and God told him how difficult she would be, but this was getting to be too much. Something had to give, but he just didn't know how to make that happen. Why is she so her. Alexander put that woman through hell because of his pride. She gave him everything and let him be in the limelight while she faded to the background. He never gave her credit for anything she did. Put her out on the street over paying his truck note. Now, these were details Lauren had left out when they spoke about her. Rand still couldn't believe that Alexander had been so childish and immature. One thing was for sure. He was going to have to work harder than he thought to prove to Ayanna that he was different. Ayanna knew he was, yet the sting of Alexander still rested on her, and all the prayers in the world couldn't get it off of her. Sarita prayed too, yet it seemed like that only made it worse. Ayanna cried out to God, asking why she still felt the hurt if Alexander was dead. She knew that Rance was around for a reason, but the hurt she felt wasn't allowing her to see what that reason was. Is he the one you have for me next? Her question went unanswered. As she sat at her writing table, she allowed herself to pen the last chapters of the book she'd worked on throughout their marriage. She cried with every keystroke, but felt her load lighten. Sarita often video called just to watch her work and to be a listening ear. When Ayanna turned the file over to her editor, she fell to the floor and let out a scream that could have broken glass. It's done, daughter. It is finished. Ayanna took a deep breath and got up from the floor, going back to her tablet to talk to her daughter, who she found crying and praying as well. She told her that she loved her and that she would be all right. Sarita nodded and said that she hoped that would be true. The year turned and Ayanna started being civil to Rand, even though many had told her it was too soon. Ayanna knew her limits, but she wasn't going to make him pay for Alexander's crime, whether he was the man God had for her or not. When she accepted a breakfast invitation, Rand didn't know what to do. She'd been so distant that he couldn't believe she agreed to meet him. Stax was the destination and a place that Ayanna had meant to visit but hadn't. Lauren praised the French toast, which was Ayanna's favorite food, so that was what she ordered. As they ate, Rance let her know that he was an open book and that no question was off limits. Have you ever treated a woman the way that I have been treated? Rance took a sip of orange juice before answering the question. Have I been stupid? Yes. That stupid? No, ma'am. I was raised in a house where my mother helped my father, and her help was well received. He was a proud man, yet he showed his appreciation for what my mother did for us. Ayanna rolled his eyes and asked him if he was telling the truth. He told her that she could ask for herself and called his mother on the phone. I hate to do this to you guys, but that is the end of my time. So this has been my book, Real Life Abigail. The first 5 3/4 chapters. So if you like what you heard, you can find Real Life Abigail on my website at TammyTerrellMompreneurs.com/bookstore. I know my social media audience is wilding out. You can find it on Barnes & Noble's website, Books of Millions website. You can come and see me right here in Memphis at 5300 Cottonwood Suite 4, Memphis, Tennessee, 38118. I don't have this one on hand, but I can order it for you, and then you can come and pick it up. You can find me on Amazon. Search for Tammy T. Pope. T, that thing right there, that T is important. because there is another Tammy Pope writing on Amazon, and our names are spelled the exact same way, and we're both black. So to keep the confusion down, you can go to amazon.com/author/Tammy Pope, and you will see my beautiful face, and you will know exactly that it is me. So until next time, this has been the Diva Dish Book Club Night featuring Real Life Abigail. I will let you know when another one-hour special comes, and we will finish this thing, I promise. Until then, God bless, Godspeed in all that you do. Pick up a book and take a break from reality for a minute. Good night, everybody.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.